Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Explicit Measures podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. Hello. Here we are. We've made it.
Hello. Welcome.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you clipping the mic there, little Seth. Clipping the mic.
There's the excitement we've been waiting on 100 episodes for.
Hello and welcome.
Hello and welcome.
100th episode of Explicit Measures.
I thought it was a big moment when we made it 20, and I was actually to get up early in the morning 20 times. That was impressive.
Yeah. So 20 got you up early, but 100 didn't?
100 is, wow, yeah.
Funny story I was relaying to Tommy earlier, right? So I walk into my kitchen this morning. My kids are eating breakfast before school. And I say, hey, you know what today is? And they're like, what, Dad? Like, it's the 100th episode of Explicit Measures. Really? I'm like, do you know what that means, right? Because you got to lead them on.
Yeah.
They're like, no. Like, that means you can go watch Dad for 100 hours when you get older if you want to hear him talk. Oh, that's amazing. My dad's like, my son goes, where can we listen to you? I'm like, you can listen to us on YouTube or Spotify. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. So I get my coffee, and as I'm walking down the stairs, my son goes, Dad, on my school tablet, I have YouTube. What should I look up? And as I'm walking down the stairs, I go, explicit. No, don't look that up. Don't look that up. Like, I'll tell you later. Don't do wild card searching for our show.
Oh, yeah. That could be interesting. Yeah. Dad, yeah. I got sent to the principal's office today.
Bad news, podcast. Suspended for the day. Good news, a whole day to watch the podcast.
There you go.
Oh, learn. My goodness.
Learn, kid.
Right. Tell your friends.
I will admit, this has been putting yourself out there as far as social media and doing content like this regularly, I mean, to some degree, I thought it's really interesting because, you know, you look at your family tree and you're like, oh, so-and-so did XYZ. And sometimes there's artists in the family or someone who was a musician. And you're like, you know, so-and-so had a hit song a long time ago or whatever, you know. And you're like, I didn't know they sang. And now there's going to be like, for me, didn't you know Dad had a YouTube channel? Or grandpa, great-great-grandpa had a YouTube channel. We don't even use YouTube anymore, but it's still out there.
By that time, the world will be imploded. And be like, there once upon a time, there was this thing called YouTube.
Yeah, we had this thing called the internet.
Tell us the story.
Yeah.
And there were three guys, and they had the best show ever.
Yeah, right.
What's a show?
Yeah.
Right.
How do you see them all?
Yes.
This subset of an industry, of a subset of a type of person. Yeah. Wide audience there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. So anyways, that's kind of funny. I do have a lot of friends who, so maybe for a bit for the 100th episode, for an intro or opener, how do you guys explain to your friends who find or hear that you have a podcast? I post this on my Facebook page, and so I get a couple, you know, people catching me on the Facebook era, and they're like, yeah, we watch your podcast. The first couple minutes are like, okay, and then we can't understand anything you say. So
that's
like,
exactly, yeah.
What do you do? And I'm like, oh, I deal with it's a podcast about data things that I do. Usually that's where I start from.
Always.
How about you guys?
It'll always be a niche. I actually don't publicize to my friends and things that I have a podcast.
All two of them?
Every once in a while. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, Mike. Yeah. I would need
more
friends.
More than one hand
to post, you know,
he
provide
told
a message
you his friend
too.
This morning. I went to a wedding this past weekend, and it was for my wife's side of the family, and a bunch of her cousins came up to me like, yeah, I try to listen, and then I have no idea what you're talking about, but it sounds great. So yes. He's like, I've heard even my cousin-in-laws, I guess what you call them, they go, it's like, you guys definitely seem like the personalities mix. I just, everything whoop over the head. So
I would say this too. I get a lot of comments. You seem really excited about it. You seem really excited about it. Like, I don't know. Seth just spit up his coffee. Yeah.
Almost. I would have.
So, you know, it's one of those, you have a good heart. You know, you're really trying.
Yeah. Really trying. Hey.
I feel like that's a substitute. He's really passionate because he's making up in other ways.
Yes. That's also a comment I got as an engineer. You know, I kept getting called the energetic engineer. I didn't know there was such a thing, but apparently I'm that. So I'm the energetic engineer.
Well, I mean,
that's where you just turn around and be like, obviously it wasn't meant for you. A little over your head. I'm sorry.
Oh no. Right.
I'm trying. We'll have an episode 102 for you.
We'll dumb it down. All right.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I tell people that were like, so like, what is your podcast about? And it's like, obviously I say Power BI. They go, okay, what's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Well, I basically, it's like in my industry, we're kind of just taking a whole other side that people don't talk about online. And we're basically just trying to have fun with it.
Yep.
I said, it's a very, you know, technical industry. It's a very technical community, but there's all this whole other side that we all realized. And we just wanted to bring those conversations to light.
I love it when people read my email address, Mike@PowerBI. And they're like, instead of, I say it like Power BI, like that. And they're like, Power BI? Like Pub BI? Like, they're not quite sure, like, how to say it, per se, because they're not used to using the program all the time. So I'm like, yes, it's just Power BI. Yeah, PowerBI.tips.
I'm all for acronyms and shortening things, but have you guys had anybody do the shortening of the name in your organization?
For the podcast?
Hey.
PBI. No. Oh, PBIX?
No. No, it's PBI. Just PBI.
PBI. No, I haven't.
Drives me crazy.
Why?
Can you guys create a BI report?
Oh.
I log into BI and like, no, you don't. No, you don't. It's Power BI.
Yes.
Like that's part of the name. Like, put it together. Like, it's just one of it. Business intelligence is the area.
Yeah, correct. Okay? Yes. Power BI is the tool.
The tool
is Power BI.
Has a power.
I love it. That's good. Amazing. So while I haven't had that experience, I think people are used to other parts of visualizing programs like Qlik or Tableau, or and so there's different terms for like what a visual is. So I'm used to using the language of like visuals, page. That's the language I'm used to using. And sometimes I'll get weird words or descriptors of like, okay, we're going to drop on, you know, it's not a visual. It's like, we're going to drop on the container. So which container are we adding? No, it's a visual. We're adding the visual to the page. Yeah, container. All right. What container are you using?
Right.
So that's probably the extent that I've gotten back. So any other openers? I want to keep going there. I don't want to cut off too early if we don't have to. We have another two and a half minutes to burn before we actually get to the real topic.
This is perfect then. Mm-hmm. I have a few tangents I could go off on, but I'm probably going to put them in Trello because that just happened yesterday. I'm like, I need to talk this through. I need to talk this
you
out.
You need to mentally walk through the steps.
Yes.
Yeah. I need to vent. Mm-hmm. And that's what this podcast is. Honestly, like, I look back, I'm already moving on. Go ahead, Mike. If you have any intro, sorry.
I don't have any other intro things. This is it.
Oh, we are off today for 100. I am. I'm excited. I don't know what to do.
You have butterflies, Tommy?
Take a breath. I have a little butterfly.
I'm a little excited. What to do with myself?
I don't know what to do. I'm a glass case of emotion. But right. Honestly, though, like, I've realized that the podcast for me is one, like, we started it. We've talked about this before. We were started when everything went remote.
Yep,
we did. The three of us had a bunch of calls. We were trying to consolidate the user groups.
Yes.
And every time we had a, hey, quick 10-minute chat about the user group coming up.
Yep.
Turned in an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, always.
Every single time.
Even when we talked in person, like, so, again, this maybe goes back a little bit to, like, how did we start the podcast? Or I kind of always had this maybe hankering or need or wanted to, like, I always thought it'd be fun to do one. But I needed to do it in a way that was very, what I would call, low friction. I have a lot on my plate. There's a lot of things going on. Running a business, trying to run a website, have a number of tools that we provide to the community. There's just a lot of things going, and I'm like, I need help with this. I couldn't do it all by myself. And so Seth and I had been talking about it for quite a while before we started communicating to Tommy about it. We were just kind of like, this would be fun. We think we would enjoy it. There's a lot of...
That requires consistency.
And that was something that Seth and I did not have. We were very inconsistent and probably still are with just being able to be regular with blogging and content pieces that we create. So we were like, you know, somehow it came up. Tommy, you were like, maybe there should be a podcast or something like that. And somehow it kind of all fell together. And that was the realization when we started joining user groups, and it was, you know, a year ago. Oh, geez, a year ago. That's crazy. And we've been pretty consistent. I feel, you know, pat on back on that one. Like, we've made 50 weeks of 2 episodes a week all throughout everything, even around Christmas time. I don't think we stopped at all around Christmas either. We pre-recorded things and kept on cruising. So
look at us taking a bit of our own medicine, right? Because, I mean, if you
just get in, start.
Yeah.
That's what we've been saying.
But consistently, you know, keep doing things. And, you know, I guess the way I look at big milestones, because 100 episodes is a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm a kind of guy that's like, yeah, it's the 100th episode and we'll do the same thing at 200 and 300. Like, you know, so it's today's another fun day of
200, 300. Oh my gosh.
Today's another fun day of dialogue that I get to have with you guys and the audience, and keep coming up with new and different ways of looking at the business area that we work in. And it's fun.
Yeah, right? I'd agree.
I think ultimately we've had this conversation multiple times as we've kept going, right? Like, 20 episodes, 30, 40.
Right.
If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't be doing it, right? And I think
I totally agree.
The way I look at it is this is an opportunity to keep us engaged, not only in our dialogue with each other, but broaden that, because we found a lot of value in that, except it was just sporadic. It's like it's like meeting an old friend or hanging out with the person you really like, you know, shooting ideas off. And Mike and I did this a lot right when Power BI came out, like Power BI user groups. And we like eventually started working together, and we ended up like shooting past ideas to each other. And there's so much value in the dialogue. And I think that's what the podcast means to me, is having this dialogue, because, you know, it brings value to not only us, but those others that are listening. Right. And I love one of, you know, Greg Baldini's quotes for today. We'll talk about it later, I'm sure. But it's, even if we're on the wrong track, or we're talking about a different area that we have experience in, and we're bashing that idea back and forth, I guarantee the audience is getting that same type of thing from this dialogue. It's like, because it forces you to just kind of think about your circumstances and how it applies to the topic that we're talking about. And this is where a lot of our ideas that even come out during the show aren't pre-scripted. It's because we're having that dialogue. We're talking about it. We're coming up with different ideas and different implementations and ways in which we can do things. And that's the value, I think, for me, in it's still meaningful to me, and I hope it's meaningful to the audience, but that's what it's all predicated on, is keeping the dialogue going and keeping that as, you know, a forefront in the mind, which essentially generates ideas and keeps me engaged.
And allow me to bring something from the archives. I think we've really stayed true to just what we wanted to do from the beginning. And again, Seth, to your point, obviously people are still listening, so I'm assuming they're getting value. And we've kind of consolidated people's feedback. They've messaged us, and posted. So I think we knew every time that we would talk, like, we know we're not the only people having this conversation, and we're like, why isn't there a forum for this?
Yeah. So that was exactly where a lot of this came from too. Yep.
Yeah. And it's because we didn't just talk about like the technical side of it. Maybe they'll start getting shorter. Probably not. They're probably going to get to 2 hours, but this is a message that I sent to you guys in April of 2021. So before we started, I'm a very strong opinion that this podcast is something that's unique in the community. People who entertain, check. So we really were really sure of ourselves. Yeah. And we said topics relevant, but unique ideas and what they mean, like, you know, what are they dealing with?
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, I think that's been the fun part, where I know for me, like I said, I kind of use the podcast almost to vent sometimes, and hearing from you guys on the different ideas, it's one of those things, like, I don't hear any other, you know, series or blog where there's an argument, where there's like, you know, there's our best practices, but at the same time, there's a lot of gray area.
Yep.
And I think that's what really tackled. And we've seen this in the chat, in the community, where people are like, no, That is absolutely wrong. And I think that's really something we've brought up, because unlike if we were just like web developers, or, you know, or really backend, like, we're in such a unique position in the BI report space, Seth, where we are people dealing, you know, we have to be good with people.
Yeah.
We're talking about culture. We're obviously talking about all the technical side. We're just building a report's not good enough.
Yep.
You know, to be successful in that. So we all have this very unique position, being in front of the business, but also having to have this incredible knowledge in the back end. So that's really been, I think, absolutely something that I can talk about forever.
Another kind of point I'll throw in here as well. When Seth and I were just, so Seth and I are both Microsoft MVPs, and there are, you know, you're kind of,
Tommy.
We're all MVPs. MVPs.
That would have been a lot easier. But yeah.
Tommy didn't live near me, and so Seth and I attended our user group together. Right. So like our user group was like, we would lead the user group together as MVPs. And so doing that, a lot of what, you know, kind of Seth and I conversation was, when we weren't doing like user led groups or presenting things, we would go back and forth, and I'd come up with an idea and he'd be like, that's good. But you know, what about these edge cases? What about this? You know, here's some, and we between the two of us, we were able to take like a single idea and refine it and kind of keep, you know, take that thought and kind of sand it down and edge, you know, smooth it out, and becomes this better idea when you have more people kind of thinking about the same thing. And I think the podcast for me has done a lot of that for me as well, is where, you know, we present ideas. It's helping shape my thoughts around where Power BI is right now and where I think it's going too. I think there's, you know, one of my, maybe it's favorite episodes or one of my, I don't know, it's maybe not my favorite episode, but there are a couple topics that we get into that we know that there are difference of opinions. You know, one of them being things moving to, you know, the cloud more often. Nice. You know, so that's one of the topics that we know, you know, Tommy is not a fan of taking away his desktop apps, but I really feel like that's the direction, whether I like it or not, Microsoft is going that way. And that's what I kind of see as they've been developing things, more and more items that they create are becoming more and more cloud focused and centric. So it's very interesting to see like how that trend is happening. And as I look back across, you know, the podcast, it's very fun to watch the roadmap of what Microsoft is doing with Power BI and then what we've been talking about. Not that we're choosing the direction here, but we're kind of aligning our talking path, kind of, you know, talking about those new features. You know, it seems like a lot of the rough edges that we've been addressing or talking about, they're kind of getting worked on. Microsoft is putting effort around, you know, cleaning and sanitizing some of those experiences so they're a bit easier to use. So it's been fun to kind of step back and look at it in holistically of what we've been able to talk about and where the topics we talked about, and then where the product is going now too. So it's been interesting there too.
And two quick tidbits on that. So a buddy of mine asked me, he's like, you know, like, do you still have topics? Like, how many topics do you have left? You know, can you do them? Like, you should see our board. And I'm like,
I don't think we'll ever run out of things to talk to.
I think half our episodes, we never got through them.
Oh yeah,
so,
easy.
And he's like, so we could just kind of take that. And then the other side is, have you guys been in a situation where you're talking to other like Power BI professionals, and there's like just it's a relaxed conversation, and someone says something that you vehemently disagree with outside of the podcast? And I think all of us are a little combative by nature, a little like we obviously have strong opinions. And there's been a few times like, no, I completely disagree. It's like almost heresy to disagree with someone in the Power BI space sometimes. And I think that's another kind of part that I love about this. I remember like when our episode about data flows, I think it was like episode 7 or 14. Mm-hmm. And that was supposed to be a simple, what is the role of data flows? And probably 30 minutes of that was sparks, fireworks, Seth and I going back and forth of what that role is. And I just remember thinking like, this is great. This is exactly, not even for the podcast, like just, this is conversations that should be had to see the other viewpoints, because something like data flows, you think, oh, simple to do, business user can do it. And Seth is bringing up all these points about like, it shouldn't exist there. It needs to exist, you know, from the source, and being able to take those things and honestly be open to a dialogue, so to speak, has been one of my favorite things. For me, the data flows was still to this day one of my most entertaining, most enjoyable ones we did.
Well, either way, I hope that the trifecta of personalities, I think, goes a bit into an audience staying engaged, and you know, hopefully we provide a little bit of that. But I think what's interesting, you made a good point about why something like this still is engaging, right? It's not just because we're talking about an area we're interested in. The area we live in is interesting, right? Because it's a lot of what we do is the gaps between teams, solving those challenging things between teams, between business units, between organizational, like ideas about data and reporting, about like the monolithic business and IT. Like, we play in these gaps where we're trying to bring insights, right? And those are the most challenging areas in a business to be in. Mm-hmm. So there's people problems, there's process problems, there's you don't understand the tool problems.
Would be technology problems.
All of these things are what we deal with and are consistently talking about. So we get a tool, so we can talk the technical space all the time. But if you look at a lot of our episodes, right, we're ranging all through this, you know, morass or, you know,
right.
Whoa,
tangled web of, you know, things that we deal with on a daily basis. And that is interesting.
I will, because Tommy said it already, and I can give him some flack here. Tommy, you use the term Power BI Pro as a descriptor of the user. I remember that. It still rubs me the wrong way. It's still
that, yeah, we're talking about like 5 years in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, what does a Power BI Pro look like in the future? A Power BI Pro looks like a $10 subscription to Power BI. That's what it looks like to me. That's in my mind, it's ingrained that the Power BI Pro is not a person, it's a subscription thing. And so like when I think about Power BI, I think about Power BI developers. That's how I think about it from that term. But along the terming things, that's one phrase that I've been using a lot in my company is to think about, you know, my company that I own is kind of a mix of app dev and Power BI dev stuff. And I think there's a really interesting connection between app development and data development because they're very closely related. You build an app, data comes out of it, right? You're going to have a whole bunch of data coming out of apps that you build for your customers, whatever that may be. And then from there, where do you take all that data and what do you do with it? And then how do you take that information and provide value back to people?
Right.
So, I mean, to your term here, Tommy, you said Power BI professionals. I'll bring it full circle here. If I'm going on a little of a tangent, I'll try and bring it back. So I want to start coining a new term or a new phrase around, we have a full stack developer. I'd like to start thinking about like the full stack, you know, BI developer or the full stack business intelligence developer. I think there's a concept here that is full stack that you can actually talk about. Hey, you have an operational system, you have team members or people who work in either BI or that IT governed team of data, and they are owning everything that comes out of that operational system all the way through data transformations, the data warehouse, the data marts through Power BI, and ultimately rendering reports in Power BI. That is a full stack BI developer. And I don't know if I've heard that term before, or maybe it is, and I'm just jumping onto someone else's already well thought out idea, but I feel like that's a phrase that there should be a full stack person in this space at this point. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, this is what bugs me because I might say pro for someone, but at the same time, there's 18 licking titles about like what a Power BI, someone working in, I did not say anything bad.
I know. Nope.
Yeah, I bit my tongue. But if I want to work in Power BI, there's 18 titles to choose from.
I agree with that.
They could all do the same thing or not, depending on what company writes it. You're a developer, you're an author, you're an analyst.
That's very true. And then, yeah. And I think as this area of reporting continues to mature, we're now seeing a whole nother list of, I mean, this is the game changer of why Power BI is so cool. You're bringing this really extremely powerful tool into the hands of the business team. And so now we have teams of business users that are doing, we are saying full self-service, right? They can go get their own data. They can make their own data models and they can make their own reports. Some of them are great. Some of them are not so great. But now we have opened the floodgates to a whole new realm of people about, or brought this technology much closer, and now we can have this similar tool that both IT and the business use, same language, same formulas, same kind of, it's been very similar. I really like it. I think this is the game changer for me of like how closely we're bringing those two different worlds together now.
See, I think if you call someone a developer or an engineer and they are very front facing and they're part of the data culture and the process.
Sure.
I think calling someone a developer is not giving the full justice to that person.
How about a full stack Power BI artist? Seth, artist? Yes.
Artist? No.
No.
No. No.
Thanks, Walter.
This would have been the perfect opportunity to like pre-think about a fantastic name. While I get what you're saying, and I agree, right? Like there, if you're a developer in Power BI and the data ecosystem, you can do a lot, right?
Agreed, totally agree.
There's more
roles coming with this too, because now there's before when you had Power BI initially, there wasn't really a need to have an admin. I mean, you needed one, but like that admin could have been the same guy who built all the reports because your admin portal had like six settings. Now there's like pages and pages and pages of settings that are admining, and now you have hundreds of workspaces and there's new roles appearing in this tool, I think.
So here's where I'm pausing, okay. Right? There is definitely an engineer role or roles within this ecosystem, within the BI space.
Agreed.
What is very interesting to me, though, is even as I look at my career path, right, unlike hardcore engineering, I think for practitioners that stay on the back end all the time, mm-hmm. typically in your example was, you know, front-end devs or full-stack developers, it's challenging for them to, like, get into the business front-end because it's all technical. Mm-hmm. It's all like you give me this thing and I'll solve that problem. Like I'm the hammer. I'm going to give it, like you gave me the nail and I'm hammering it. But because we're constantly bridging the gap between IT and business, mm-hmm. Being a full stack, like, you know how to source, manipulate and produce insights that change businesses.
Yep.
Like, those are huge roles that you can step into. Like you're a change maker by the time, like, you know how to do all of that thing and interact with business leaders, corporations. Like Mike, you do this all the time. You mm-hmm. engage with companies. They say, we have this problem, and you walk in and you go, bam, change.
Yep.
Right.
Like different way of
huge
thinking.
Insight you never had. Like, yep.
Or
the
automation, the
business, and,
huge
and,
amount
and
of automation.
It's a different way of looking at it, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's business value. Mm-hmm. Like, you're producing something that is either making tons of money or saving tons of money. We've said it before.
Yep.
But like, to me, if I'm gonna say like the ultimate goal of like somebody in our space, It's that person. It's having so much of that experience that you've cobbled together. You know how to transform. You know how to source. You know how to like produce insights. You know how to like. Yep. And if you needed to, you could go do this all yourself.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
And you know how to do the really hard part, which is engage with people, understand what they actually want, talk to leaders, build KPIs, and like produce something that at the end of the day you can legitimately say, yeah, I did this thing and the company made $2 million the next year. Mm-hmm. That's crazy as it relates to like the opportunity that we have in this space to just keep going. And you could stay an engineer level. That's fine. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but like, to me, I don't, maybe it's because I'm not in the area, but I don't see that bridging that gap unless it's like you just stay in the technical space all the time and right. You know, you're building your core software guy or whatever, and you build better and better and better solutions which have an impact on business. But I think what's unique to our area is we can engage on many different levels within an organization, and it's not always the C-suite. It could be the finance person who's spending 30 hours a week manually putting together a report in Excel.
And no, and I'm completely with you, Seth. I think if you are just building reports, you are selling yourself short, because there's too many things in this space where, again, unless you're really on the back end and you're all Synapse, all Data Factory, and that's kind of where you live. Yeah. Developer engineer makes sense. But if you're on the front line and you're not just building the reports, but you're also dealing with types of people, how do we align the company's goals with what we're doing or understand what are the pain points? What are they actually looking for? What do they actually need? How can we actually show the value?
Yep.
I've seen a few posts on this online, but we've been saying this for a long time. Like, we're not here to build reports. We're here to provide answers and help people make decisions. A report's just the means to do so.
Yeah.
And I think that's what gets lost, I think, when you say developer. Right. But that role is someone who has to understand, like, okay, this person has no idea what data is. This person does not want to share, holds their cards close in terms of like their goals or how do we get people to be on the same page? This is even the admin role, right? I think the admin role now is too, it's not just the settings, but it's also like the content and the workspaces. Do we have trust? How do we grow or increase users' trust? How do we make sure we have the right processes? I mean, we haven't talked about the tool. We're not talking about the report opening Power BI, PBIX.
It just happens to be the best thing to do, right?
Well, it also allows us, it gives us that ability for the very first time to be both on the front line with the business, but also be as technical as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not exist before, where we have to be front facing.
Yeah. I felt a lot of the tools that I was given in the business side of the world, it was just pretty much Excel, and that was it. So if I couldn't do it in Excel, I didn't have any other really a tool with enough horsepower to get stuff done. And I feel like this is the first time I'm seeing a tool that appears that can do, simple things, a couple tables, a couple thousand rows, easy relationships, great, adds value, but then also adds value at mega scale, right? Microsoft has done demos of billions, I think even trillions of rows, where they're just massive amounts of data coming back through Power BI demos. I mean, it's good because it feels like there's a lot of like room to grow, right? I mean, I started out building simple Power BI reports with imports, and then data got large, and then I said, well, we need to start thinking about incremental refresh, and that opened up a whole nother world, and it was already there. The tool had it already. I just wasn't using it. It's amazing how much more, another step deeper into technical you can go if you need to.
So let me ask you guys a question, since we've gone obviously into a completely different topic, which has been great. And for the past 100 episodes, I guess, or for people listening, what do you think have been our like kind of main themes, or I guess, what would you want people to take away from all like underlying current of all of our conversations?
Ooh, these are good. So I was actually making a list of things down here while you guys were talking that was bringing up ideas of what we had in the past. One of, I think, my favorite topics was right around the whole concept of a virtuous waste. Mm-hmm. I think that was a good topic, because I have something that resonates very well with virtuous waste, doing something that is it's that exercise of I'm going to a data source, I'm exporting data out, I'm taking it to an Excel document, and I'm copying pasting data between Excel items. And so there's a level of like, maybe virtuous waste goes around this concept of automation, right? I like the idea of automation, and I'll call myself this all day long. I feel like I'm the lazy engineer. I like being able to have something automated. I need to show up, it works, and then I can walk away, and then it just figures things out. And from there, it's able to, like, I don't have to babysit the process every day. I don't have to do that. So for me, I think a virtuous waste topic was one of the ones that, if you're walking into the podcast, I think a lot of the stuff we talk about here is around automation. How do we automate things to increase your efficiency? So you can start thinking about not moving data around, but rather start thinking about what should the data be telling me? What visuals do I put in place that helps me drive for an action, as opposed to just putting data dump visuals on the page that I could just export to Excel later on? That's one of the things for me. Seth, how about you?
It's a great one. It was the top one that I had, actually.
Really?
And you drove that topic. Yeah. Because if you think about where the vast majority of our value in a lot of what we do, it's solving the virtuous waste problem, where people aren't really thinking about solving the full issue in a technical manner, right? Yeah. Especially business. It's like, oh, okay, I can export to Excel, and then 3 hours later. And then you do that every day or every week.
Yep.
But like right behind there, in terms of like topic genres that we've talked about, obviously I love adoption and governance episodes, because those are how you make big changes in an organization to start solving the virtuous waste problem all over the place, because you create a new norm, you create a different data culture, you make people understand that that's not the best approach, and that their responsibility is to merge what they can do with, you know, business / technical tools to automate their processes. And then while we have a lot of different type topics, but then the third one I really enjoy a lot is doing episodes around sharing our tips and tricks and experience of like presenting and career growth and a lot of the things that we've walked through, because I think those provide a lot of insight to people who may not be familiar, or if I kind of look at those as, you know, if I would have known that before I started, that would have given me the, you know, motivation to keep going or to continue to consistently do something or whatever the case may be. So I like those as well.
Yeah. For me, I would hope that people kind of get a different way to kind of approach what we do. And I think, like, are we building the wrong reports? For me, that's something that I'll go back and listen to, just because I think there's so much great content on, okay, why are you building the report? You know, that conversation definitely shifted off from like the report itself into like what requests are coming in. And I think just a different way to approach your job, approach the business, the virtuous waste, the technical debt, those are excellent examples where, for me, honestly, that has changed the way I tackle projects, and also have made me more proactive in going into like, okay, no, this is something that we can do because it's going to actually help the company in this way. And that's another thing we've always talked about. Like, anything that we do is going to affect multiple people, but it's, you know, that value. So I can say, at least for myself, I would hope from people listening, is thinking about what you do as a BI engineer, developer, analyst in a very different way, that your role is much bigger than you think or can be. The other part too, I think we've talked so much, like with the data governance, right? Those, some of them were like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do a full hour on this, but then you realize how much of
our, there we are at an hour going, wish I had more time.
I got to meet it. Yeah. So, but I think we've also, I think kind of all of us have realized too, that these small topics touch a lot of people and a lot of dependencies across any organization. Even something like data flows or even something like a help desk, like just putting that in, having that conversation. Well, that ripple effect is huge.
So another phrase I would throw into the bag here. I agree with your topic there, Tommy. Two points. One point is, I don't think I emphasized enough previously around the people part of part of the build, right? There's a lot of, I just kind of did it. I didn't really maybe put a lot of thought around, you know, what happens there and like strategic ways of like getting people on board and how we can, you know, get better requirements. And I think one of the aha moments across the podcast for me was, I build a report based on what I think the client or customer or internal team, whatever, needs to be seen on the report page. But a lot of times I build a report, I build it to answer certain questions. I build it a certain way, and we put the report out there, and there's, you know, to your point, Tommy, your topic around why your report never gets used kind of thing. You know, the people that are showing up at your report may have a different perspective on what that report should be answering, or different questions that they want to answer that are not included in your report. So there's this data story that's happening where, and I think Seth, you put out a really good, strong opinions around this, is, hey, if you build a report and it is not being used, your requirements were wrong. Rebuilding the report is not, you know, not the right thing. We needed better requirements up front to get the right data or the right visuals in front of people to utilize that report. And with that conversation, I'm also now saying, when I talk to people, is, Okay, number one, do you need to export the data? Are we talking about you need a table and you need parameters and you need to dump it? Because if that's what we're talking about, that's not Power BI. That's paginated reports. So I'm much stronger communicating that point versus just, yeah, let's build you a Power BI report and try to solve everything with the Power BI report side. Because I feel like there's now two really strong use cases for the cube. The model still is the same. You have to build a cube, but you still, now you have the, do I need to get it out in large table form, lots of pages? Yeah. We're picking a different tool. It's still related to Power BI, yeah, but it's now a separate tool that I, that meets that need, I think, better. So that would, that's yeah, another kind of aspect that I think I would emphasize more is the people part. And then I was like my first point. And my second point was, I think we have, if you went back and looked at, if you did like a word search of all the stuff that we've said, I think we've said Matthew Roach's name in more podcasts than any other name, because of his data governance and, you know, governed data sets versus self-service, unregulated data sets. And I think a lot of our talking point becomes, in our world, it's a lot around taking that general reporting or that self-service report and figuring out how do you promote it into something that's governed. That seems like a process that is just unique, potentially unique per business, potentially has different rules in different organizations, different governance implications. So that's another area that I would say is like another, that is important. Building that process to promote yeah, things to a governed space, I think is another data point or another thing that I've pulled away from the podcast as well. How about yeah, you guys?
Just approaching everything like, what are we really trying to do here?
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah, trying to boil, you know, to Seth's point earlier, are we saving money or are we making money? Is it, what's right, this report doing to get me to that end goal? So I think those are elements that I'm pulling away from this and saying, yeah, I'm trying to use those terms and phrases more often. You know, focus on the people, focus on good requirements, doing a better job documenting what we're going to be building without even putting pen to paper, right? What do you want to see on the report? Let's start there. What kind of questions do you need to answer about data? Let's start with those insights first, document them, organize them into pages, and then let's talk about it. Are we on track? Because 2 hours of that work can save me 4 or 5 hours of going down the report build space. And now we've got, you know, well, that's not what I wanted. Or, wow, this data is really sparse here. We don't really have anything. So there's also this, you know, I communicate this. We're building a bridge from two sides. We're building it from the data side because you have to have data to support the insights, and you have to have the insights that you want to answer based on what data you have. So if, I mean, I've been in times where, like, yeah, well, yeah, but let's do a bar chart of that category by the, and there's like one massive bar and everything else is like nothing. Like, right. Wow, that's okay. Not really helpful. Now we only have, we need to look at one thing. So, you know, those kind of things reveal themselves when you look at the data and you're like, oh wow, we don't have enough of it, or we need more of it, or you know, the data is not as clean as you'd like. So anyways, those are my other two notes there.
Yeah. Honestly, all of our conversations, I think, have given me like x-ray goggles to just kind of approach different projects and like just the business in a different way. Mm-hmm. Like when all these requests come in. So I guess now we got some great feedback from the, from our listeners, by the way. And I know we wanted to spend some time on this, but we kind of consolidated. Thanks for everyone posting, by the way. We'll announce the winners at our next, on Tuesday's episode 101. So, but thanks for everyone for posting. Greg, thank you for doing it because he kind of just made it. He followed the rules. So appreciate that. But I don't know if you guys have in front of you, but by far the one that made me laugh the most was two people talked about episode 35, which was the filter pane gate.
And filter pane gate. Yeah. That's the name of it.
That's what Win Hopkins said. It was the, yeah. It was a conversation just about using slicers of the filter pane.
Yep.
And yep. It was a great conversation. So, and then also Marat on LinkedIn said,
that's a very polarizing. I want to, before we go to the next one. Let's jump on this topic. Cause I don't think we talked about it very often. It was that one episode pretty much, but I think is fairly contested. Even when I work on reports with people, do you put the filters on the report page or do you put the filters in the filter pane? That's a pretty hot topic, I think.
Yeah, but
are you saying you want to revisit that?
No, I just feel like that was
round two.
Ding, 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 ding. So yeah, no, I think that one is a, yeah, I like that topic too. That was a good topic to get, think yeah. through. And that's, there are yeah. use cases when you need, I think, a slicer on the report page, but in reality though, like you really don't need one.
I think I remember going into that going, I think we got 20 minutes here and like, but I don't know like how we're going to extend this. And then it went off the rails. I mean, in a great way, these two people actually said that episode and everyone's favorite part was our bet where we were like, yeah, well, it's been available in the server. Oh, it's been available yes. in Power BI desktop forever. Mm, yeah. No, it's not.
That leaves a yeah. sour taste and a steak taste in my mouth for that one.
It leaves a content stomach on my part. So.
I lost that one.
Of all the feedback we got, there are two, ironically, that revolve around DAX hacks as the favorite topic. One I find absolutely hilarious because Chris Wagner took the opportunity to
this is good.
Snapshot me, you know, doing a little snippet of like calculated columns belong in every report. It's my favorite thing ever, or something like that, because I was being really smarmy and like that's what went out into the ether. So that I find hilarious and fun. And
we need to make a shirt that says Seth, lover of calculated columns.
Seth loves calculated columns.
Right? Whatever it takes, I guess. I have to read Greg Baldini's because it's like,
oh my gosh,
slight jabs, but absolute hilarity, right?
Yes.
So his quote was, if you do not listen to the explicit measures, you are missing out. I know of no other trio who can inspire such late night screeds about Power BI esoterica. 2-hour talks and a work in progress essay series, hacks indeed, though perhaps not only DAX. Like, hey, thanks, man. Glad you're a loyal audience listener, and I appreciate the fact that we can get you all riled up in your car.
The copious amount of hours we've wasted of Greg's time by the banters that we have put in place here.
Oh, man, it's
Greg.
Good.
I sincerely apologize. I'm sorry for wasting all your time.
I'm not. I don't apologize at all. This is exactly what, like, the intent of it's the dialogue, right? Like,
true.
We brought it up multiple times, even in the things that we love about doing the podcast.
Yep.
It's because we're having the conversation on a regular basis that you're thinking about these things when you're in your job. And that's what's most important, because it's the things you spend time consistently engaging in that mean that you can change your patterns, that you can make those business decisions, that you can make a difference in your organization, because you're thinking about the things that we talk about on a daily basis,
yeah,
whether or not you agree with us, you know, which is great.
Yeah, exactly right. Totally would agree with that one. Those are some really good comments.
We also found even a recent one that I really enjoyed was the analytical data models for the business. Stephen, I cannot say his last name, Stephen Zelke, said like he discussed that with his coworkers. Like that was a conversation, and that's like phenomenal kind of thing. And just talking about, hey, data model, where does it live? What's gonna happen to it? And just having those conversations.
Yes, I totally agree there.
So another, and then we've also had kind of, I think, where people find a lot of enjoyment was Sarven said also on LinkedIn that he actually just stumbled into Power BI over the last year, and he listened to that like a Power BI in the future, which a Power BI pro in the future. So what the licensing is going to be like.
A Power BI full stack developer in the future. Okay.
Full stack developer analyst.
Developer analyst person, business user, governance person in the future.
Power BI designer. Yeah.
Oh.
But he's, I was exploring career prospects on Power BI. And it's become my weekly Tuesday and Thursday go-to podcast. Mm-hmm. And so, which is awesome. And I love seeing that too. And those were also conversations that we love, because we're like, we very much disagreed on the direction it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So just a few other ones. I don't know if you guys have any other ones from that list of everybody.
I mean, there's a, so first and foremost, I'll just say thank you for everyone who listens. This has been an extremely fun for me. The words of encouragement and notes. I've gotten a couple personal notes on LinkedIn just saying, thank you. I enjoy it. That's why we do it. We're just, you know, hopefully you're birds of a feather flock together kind of thing, right? We're all data professionals. We like talking about this stuff. This is really interesting to me. I bore a lot of people with my conversation if I get really into the weeds. And, you know, my wife gives me like maybe eyes don't glaze over, but she's kind of like, okay, thank you for talking about work today. We are done. We need to talk about other things now, other than Power BI, please. Thank you. So I get the cutoff, and you know, thankfully with you guys, there is no cutoff. We can keep talking about this stuff forever and ever. And this, it's reflective of our, you know, when we do user groups every month, we'll do the user group for an hour presentation portion, and then we hang out and talk later. I mean, we've been up to like 10:30 at night just talking about thoughts and ideas and refining this thing. So very fun. I really appreciate the community. And thank you very much for just engaging that way. It's been a lot of fun, and we really appreciate you that way.
Do you guys have any other episodes that have stood out to you in the past?
No, not episodes. I think I'm going to dovetail on, okay, you know, what Mike said, you know, and just extend some appreciation to the audience. You know, the chatter, you know, in the live, you know, YouTube sessions makes is really fantastic to see. And the more people that join in that banter, I enjoy it more because it adds to the conversation. We get a lot of humor and laughter out of, you know, the individuals that join us on a regular basis. And as long as, you know, everybody's finding value in it, mm-hmm, which seems to be the case, you know, it's fun, and we'll just keep going with it as long as we can.
So I do want to pay a little bit of note here too. We have it's episode 100. I'm happy we've made it, but we also want to do give back to the community a bit here. So every episode, at the end of every episode, we ask you just share or like it or send it out. So we appreciate you sharing the content that we're producing. It helps us if you're giving us thumbs ups, mm-hmm, and likes on things, or you're subscribing to the things that we do. It definitely helps get this content to other people. And it doesn't cost you anything other than a click and maybe some notifications on your YouTube. But that being said, for this episode, go ahead and are we doing till tonight midnight? Or are we doing till like, when's the cutoff timing
we're going to announce the winners on 101.
Okay. So we will announce winners. So we're giving away some free stuff. So, for those of you who don't know about it yet, you know, there's maybe a couple hours left of today that you can potentially tweet something out. So we're asking you to tweet or, you know, let us know your favorite topic, your favorite, you know, argument we've been doing, you know, calculated columns or not, or, you know, the filter pane, whatever you've enjoyed for episodes, please go out and share that on either Twitter or LinkedIn and put the hashtag explicit measures there. Tommy has been grooming a list of all the people who have been tagging explicit measures in their posts. So you have to have the tag hashtag explicit measures so we can catch it. And then we're going to pick 5 winners and we'll reach out to you and contact you. I think after this episode, but then we'll kind of announce them by first name on episode 5, mm-hmm, and we'll let them know that, you know, they were one, and we'll reach out and try and get you a free piece of swag from swag.powerbitips.
And the best post wins a Seth Loves Calculated Columns t-shirt.
You guys are going to love the t-shirt idea I just thought of, but I'm not going to air it out there.
Don't air it yet.
We're just going to create it. And it'll be in the next piece of swag, guaranteed.
I love it. I've got a couple ideas rolling around in my head as well. I've been doing some designs on my own here. We'll see if those
for the podcast.
Just in general, just funny, interesting t-shirts. I think the funny t-shirts are, I don't know, I like them. I don't think anyone else really gets them, but I like them. Awesome.
I would love a polo. I would love an explicit measures polo, by the way.
Something professional,
a little professional.
Noted. Make a request to
send a ticket into Power BI. Yeah.
Very yes. Speaking of which, ticketing things. Totally random side note here. Just your mention of that threw something on my mind. I just realized, and I don't know if you guys have played with this at all in your tenant in Microsoft. I just realized a new feature just showed up. Our new offering, I guess. It's called Bookings, is the app that Microsoft has just recently produced. I think, I don't know where you get it, which level of subscription you need to have it for, but I was thinking, you know, for ticketing things or being able to request time of people, you can do that for internal users and you can do it for external users to your company or organization, and it will obey your calendar and show open time slots. So you could actually have like a Friday office hours or have people schedule time with you to figure out and answer questions. Anyways, that's something that we talk about a little bit on the podcast too, is like, how do you service a larger team? How do you make yourself available? I know Chris Wagner does the power hours on Fridays at his company, Rockwell Automation. And it's a great it's a great use case of figuring out people have questions. People got to talk. It's the same thing kind of like the podcast to some degree where you make yourself available time-wise to help develop and build things. Anyways, I found that. We may have to have an episode in the future around how do you use what tools from Microsoft can you use to help do a ticketing system?
Yeah, but this is actually an interesting thing. Have you guys ever read Microsoft's documentation on their own adoption or on Office 365 or the Office 365 adoption roadmap? So not Power BI, not the Power Platform. It's by far one of the most intensive, but a feature-rich resources that I've ever read. And it really talks about like from the application point of view, because let's say you did bookings, right? You're like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm going to use bookings. Well, no one else knows about it. And they're like, okay, where do I find it? I'm only going to use it for the Power BI, like for the BI team.
And this is where it makes sense to drop it in on your, you know, center of excellence. If you don't have some place to put information, it's a good place to put it. So
yes, but also like you can't just have one application just for one segment of your company. Like, and again, you have to have the subscriptions. They have to set it all up. Like, I like the idea of it, but unless your company's kind of already using something that you can integrate with, especially something new, even if Microsoft just drops it. Like they've been dropping like Microsoft List as an application now.
Yes.
Bookings is cool.
We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
Seemed like a neat way of incorporating that into that. So Chris Wagner, thank you so much for the super chat donation. We appreciate that. We make no money off of this podcast.
Yes,
we just do it for fun. But thank you very much. That'll definitely be
Donald one-upping Chris.
We got an auction.
We thank you very much. We will definitely drink that down hopefully later tonight or over the weekend.
That's going to go to the polo.
That's going to go to Tommy's Polo. Please support Tommy's Polo Fund.
That is an interesting thing about what we've done. Like, we make no money, which is obviously fine.
We just do it for fun.
Even
if there was no MVP award, even if there was nothing going on, I think I would still be doing this just because I enjoy the conversation. This is a, you know, what do they call it? A passion of joy.
It's a project.
Passion
win-win.
It's a win-win passion project for us. Sorry, Tommy, what you were going to say?
No. It's interesting because we've talked about it like internally, like, do we have an advertiser? Do we do an interview with someone? You know, we're getting all this following and we're like, that's not what we're like. That's not the spirit of the podcast.
Well, we're going to do it regardless.
Yeah. And we said, if we were to interview someone, we would, especially on something we may have not agreed with, we was like, we got to go hard on them. And you're like, so that's the other thing too, is like, I don't ever see us doing interviews, maybe one day, but I think we have enough to talk about with ourselves and maybe you'll see a sponsor one day, probably PowerBI.tips.
If you have a lot of extra money around and you'd like to sponsor a podcast for all 10 people, please reach out to us and we'll be more than happy to accept sponsors. Awesome.
Anyway.
Well, with that, we should probably wrap. It's about an hour in. We thank you very much for your time. The chat has been very lively. Thank you all very much. For those of you who donated, we really appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time. We hope we add some value here to your day, at least give you some things to think about, some food for thought. Have a great week, and we'll see you later on episode 101. Oh, Tommy, where else can we find the podcast? I don't want to close off that fast.
So, again, just thanks to everyone for your interactions, your support. If you want to keep listening to the podcast, or if this is your first episode, subscribe on Apple and Spotify or anywhere podcasts are available. Please try to leave a rating. If you like what you hear, you can listen to everything that we've done in the past. Now our full 100, because we did release. Actually, I'm not going to say that. Don't worry about that.
Oh, we didn't even touch on that topic. I was going to mention it, but I didn't.
Next 101.
Next.
Okay, 101. Next 101. 101. And then subscribe. If you want to see new episodes coming Tuesdays and Thursdays, LinkedIn and YouTube, subscribe to PowerBI.tips.
And there was a bonus episode released on Wednesday. All right. Anyways, thank you all very much. We appreciate you. We'll see you next week on episode 101. Take care.